Accessing. Access granted. Loading.
Social Issues App. Justice Radio Station.
Social Issues App.
Justice Radio Station.
Social Issues App.
Presenting evidence why and how to create a system where the individual will guarantee that no one is mistreated and guarantee that who needs help the most receives the most constructive help in all areas of people activity in society, including economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Justice Radio Station. Social Issues App.
Social Issues App.
Justice Radio Station. Google your bookstore for justice. Go to Justice Radio Station.
Social Issues App.
That occurred over the weekend here, that it falls to me to make a big deal of it. And look, of course, yeah, the Democrats are continuing their dry run here. They're trying to talk everybody into recession. And that news was prominent over the weekend as well. But that's not the big news. And you may not think what I think is big news is big news today, but I'm still going to share it with you. Greetings. Great to have you with us as we kick off yet another exciting big week in broadcast excellence. So, let's see, 6 days ago. 6 days ago. You got to keep in mind here, let me set this for one thing. The Russia collusion hoax is dead. It died. It failed. They did not get rid of Trump. Impeachment failed. It's gone. Every hope, everything that they had developed to get rid of Trump was wrapped up in Russian collusion and the Mueller report, and so it failed. Therefore, they have to move on to something else. Do you know what the something else is? You do, without me telling you. Trump is a racist. All white people are white supremacists and white nationalists. Racism now not enough by itself, because it's been so overused, it's lost the impact. So now, we're all white nationalists, or we are all white racists, and that's what Trump is. So 6 days ago, on the 13th of August, there was a tweet, little noticed, from an info babe at the New York Times. In the days and weeks to come, it begins, we will publish essays demonstrating that nearly everything that has made America exceptional grew out of slavery. Are you aware? We talked about it last week. Do you remember that the editor of the New York Times, executive editor Dean Baquet, had to call a staff meeting because of unrest in the newsroom? And it was recorded. Somebody recorded it and transcribed it, and it has leaked. And the subject matter was the editor of the New York Times explaining to the people in the newsroom what the next project is. Since Trump-Russia collusion failed, an attack on America as racist since its founding is now the new project at the New York Times. Would somebody explain to me What is news about this? Did the New York Times just discover that there's racism everywhere and it's actual news that's being made that's responsible for this coverage? Or is it the selection of an agenda item that the New York Times is going to push disguised as journalism? It is the latter. There isn't any such news to warrant this. The New York Times has essentially admitted now what we've all known. And what you're going to hear me is nothing new. We've accused the New York Times and the rest of the drive-by media as now being agenda-oriented. They don't do news anymore. There is no journalism anymore. There is no actual coverage of events and reporting to people that weren't there what happened at these events. That's what journalism basically is. And there isn't any of that anymore. Journalism today, as popularized by what's been known as the mainstream media, is now Get Trump. That's all it is, and all of Trump's supporters as well. Anybody that likes Trump, the Republican Party, period, it is Get Trump, it's get everybody responsible for Trump. That has, and it's going to be cloaked or couched as journalism. So here's the tweet 6 days ago. In the days and weeks to come, we will publish essays demonstrating nearly everything that has made America exceptional grew out of slavery. Everything, folks, everything that, what have I been saying for years? The reason why this is huge news to me is that it is a giant, see, I told you so. This demonstrates how the drive-by media and the rest of the Democrats are trying to turn the founding of this country into a sin. You've probably gotten blue in the face listening to me talk about this. That the modern-day left believes America was founded unjustly, that America was founded in immorality, that there is no American greatness, there is no American exceptionalism because it's been built on the back of minorities, or that we stole from other nations. There's nothing legitimate about America. And here comes the New York Times making the case for me. This is one of the biggest see I told you so's in my stellar career, ladies and gentlemen. Washington Examiner has the story. Byron York and others. New goal for the New York Times. Reframe American history and target Trump. The drive-by media, the New York Times, now turning the founding of America into a sin. Now, you're way ahead of the game because I've told you this is what the left has been about for years. They're just now admitting it. And it comes to us from the leaked transcript of the meeting that Dean Baquet had with his people in the newsroom at the New York Times. Now, as part of this effort, the New York Times has started something called the 1619 Project. Started it last week.
Justice Radio Station. Social issues.
The New York Times says that the project aims to reframe the country's history, understanding the year 1619 as our true founding, and placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of the story. That's the New York Times rewriting the founding of America and rewriting American history. It's another hoax. The Russia hoax bombed out. The Covington kids hoax bombed out. They've tried a number of different hoaxes to get rid of Trump, and they have all blown up, and they are at their wits' end. They are unable to harness any kind of sanity, folks. I think this hatred of Trump has rendered them poisoned. They have, stop and put yourself in their shoes. These are the people that are able to get rid of any politician or any public figure they want at any time, including presidents. They are able to destroy the credibility of people. They're able to ruin administrations. They are able to, in the case of Nixon, actually get rid of one. But the point is, in their minds, they set their sights on somebody and they're able to take them out. They set their sights on Donald Trump in 2015. They have launched everything they've got. They've launched every weapon in their arsenal. It has bombed out and blown up in their faces. I think they're deranged, delusional, and bordering on maybe even clinical insanity here. Particularly when you read the transcript of Dean Baquet, the executive editor of the New York Times, read town hall meeting he had with the newsroom. It's mind-boggling. And they are destroying journalism in the process, and they are, I think Trump's already reelected, and I don't want to make too big a deal about this right now, but I think these people have gone so far overboard, and they're unaware of it. There's a story in the Stack today about Trump supporters in Seattle coming out now. There's a story about how Antifa is bombing out in Portland. People are finally starting to see who Antifa is. When you see a story about Trump supporters surfacing and coming out in Seattle, I think there is Megan Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe did an interview. Find out her whole family loves Trump. She's the only member of her family that doesn't. And she's mad that even as Trump was supposedly criticizing her, her father continued to love Trump. I don't think Trump really criticized her. Invited her to the White House. She's the one that started uttering obscenities. The point is, remember this polling data we had a couple of weeks ago that the New York Times ran? And I guarantee you, this story scared the hell out of them. They've been running all this polling data showing that Trump's popularity is waning, that he's wearing people out. And then they ran a poll and they found out that millions of people who didn't vote for Trump in 2016 all of a sudden like the guy. There's a whole swath of this country that the polling is missing when they run around and poll on Trump's approval rating. So I'll get to all this stuff as the program unfolds, the Seattle story. There's others like that as well. I think that there is a general collapse occurring within the left. There's a column in USA Today, about what a fraud the Southern Poverty Law Center is. Now, it is a fraud. It's as big a hate group as the Democrat Party is. And they raise money ostensibly to stop hate. They raise money ostensibly to focus on hate organizations, which are all right-wing mainstream organizations. We've come to find out that Morris Dees and the people that run this have offshore bank accounts in the Caymans. These people are essentially fraudsters and thieves, hoodwinking a bunch of American leftists, including Apple. Apple donated $1 million to this outfit. They've got a social justice warrior CEO who falls for all of this stuff. I think it's beginning to collapse on them, and we just don't see it because there's not a word like that ever spent or ever reported in the drive-by media. Now back to the New York Times, the 1619 Project. That's the true year of the founding of our country. Places the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of the story we tell ourselves about who we are. We've been lying to ourselves forever. This country wasn't founded in 1776. This country wasn't founded in the Revolutionary War. This country was founded when slavery began in America. Slavery is the foundation on which all American greatness has been built. And when you say that, you are just disqualifying all American greatness. You are trying to erase it. You're trying to wipe it out. You're trying to rub it out. And this is the New York Times, a project. I thought the New York Times did journalism. I thought all the drive-by media did journalism. No, we've got a new hoax now, folks. We have a new bogus news case that is designed to try to get rid of Donald Trump. Their recession story isn't working, but they're not giving up on it. The Russian collusion story bombed out. The Covington kids story bombed out. Kavanaugh, that hoax bombed out. Name them. Every hoax they have run has blown up in their faces. They are Wile E. Coyote times 10. Everything they have tried. They are feeling as impotent and useless as they have ever felt. Don't doubt me on this. They are beside themselves. They are at their wits' end. They do not know how to get rid of Donald Trump. They do not know how to damage Donald Trump. Well, I've even got a story in the stack here by a deranged leftist named Paul Waldman, who is upset that the Never Trumpers have failed and that the Never Trumpers are basically a non-story. And that the Never Trumpers are not going to be able to accomplish a damn thing. There is, if you look carefully, there are a series of stories where the left is admitting its frustration, where the left is admitting its failures. The New York Times said they plan on using this series, the 1619 Project, this series that all American greatness grew from slavery. They have announced that they are going to use the series throughout different parts of the paper's news sections, including sports, business, and travel. So no part of the paper will be safe from this revisionist propaganda. Every department of the newspaper is going to now be based on the premise that there is no American greatness, legitimate American greatness. There's no legitimate American exceptionalism, and there's no legitimate great America, because America is a gigantic fraud, because all American greatness was built on slavery. The New York Times has announced that project. Beware. We will chronicle it for the entertainment value of it. But it is an attempt to reframe American history for the purposes of targeting Trump and his supporters to get rid of him. Back after this. Welcome back. Great to have you. In this Dean Baquet meeting at the New York... I can't tell you how much I hate talking about the New York Times, by the way, folks. I'm sick of tired of... But this is required. Because this... The New York Times is essentially confirming everything I have told everybody about where the American left is and what the American left is basing its future on. 1619, by the way, if you're wondering why they're calling it that, 1619, 400th anniversary, by the way. Mr. Fuller, the premise that's when slaves were first brought to this continent. So the New York Times said that's the day America was founded, when slavery was brought to the... There wasn't even a United States then. There weren't even the 13 colonies then. And yet the New York Times is claiming that this year is the 400th anniversary of that event. The Times has created this 1619 Project. And this is what they're saying they hope the project will accomplish. It aims to reframe the country's history, understanding 1619 as our true founding, and placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the very center of the story we tell ourselves about who we are. Now, given that the New York Times determines all, or the vast majority of, drive-by media coverage, every other cable network is going to have to pick up on this. They follow the New York Times around. And imagine that most of American journalism now in the next 18 months, 14 months, is going to be devoted to a story about how America isn't great, America's flawed, America's unjust, America is immoral, leading up to a presidential election they hope Democrats are going to win? The New York Times is admitting here the goal of the 1619 Project is to reframe American history. Is that journalism? This is yet This is to replace the failure of the Russia collusion hoax. This is to replace the failure of we're on the verge of a recession. You know what the predictions are now? 34% of economists in survey expect a recession in 2021. That would be the year the next president is inaugurated. The election is 2020. They're now beginning to predict recessions along the same lines as they predict climate change. And 34%, that means 66% don't. Why the headline 34% of economists expect a recession? Why not 66% don't? Anyway, they're trying to create a mindset. They're trying to create guilt. This effort. Oh, and I should add something. The New York Times realizes that just doing this in their paper, they're going to reframe American history. If they're going to embark on a project that attempts to convince America that this country is flawed so deeply that every aspect of our greatness has happened on the backs of slaves, if they're really going to try that, they're going to need all the other drive-by outlets to join them, but even that they know is not enough. A major goal of this project is to take the reframing message to schools. The New York Times is going to be responsible for, they're going to try to get a new curriculum entered into the public school system for American history, designed around their just discovered opinion that our true founding was in 1619, when the first African slaves arrived in the state of Virginia for sale. That's their project. They're going to need CNN to help them on this. They're going to need MSNBC. They're going to need the Washington Post. They're going to need the LA Times. The whole of the drive-by media, if the Times succeeds, the whole of the media will be picking this up like they pick everything else up in the New York Times. So how do they think this is going to play out? We got Donald Trump, who they have been unable to damage, unable to hurt, unable to get rid of. They have a slew of candidates that doesn't excite. You know how many people Biden drew the same night Trump was? Biden was in New Hampshire, same night Trump was. 30 people at Biden's rally. Trump had 11,000, 12,000 inside, that many outside. 30 people. Pocahontas packed her rally. 700 people. Pocahontas is meeting with the Indians today, where she's going to apologize. She didn't even deserve to be on the stage. She needs to be in the audience. This is a hapless bunch. There's not a one of them that excites. There's not a one of them that has created a connection or a bond. Crazy Bernie did, but that's fading now as a roaring economy has taken the message that Crazy Bernie has and rendered it impotent. So along with that colorless cast of characters, the Democrat Party is going to be seeking the presidency with the support and the help of a media attempting to redefine America's founding and greatness as built on the backs of slaves. And they think somehow this is going to deliver the White House. They think somehow this is going to secure the presidency. They think somehow this is going to get them control of the Senate. They think somehow this is going to get rid of Donald Trump. Russia collusion blew up in their face and failed. The Kavanaugh thing failed. The Covington kids thing failed. There's all kinds of hoaxes that we've had to deal with. This, we're going to have a recession next week. Oh my God, the inverted curve. Oh no, that's going to fail. So now America is unjust and immoral from the days of its founding. And what needs to happen then? I guess we've got to tear America down and rebuild it, which is exactly the agenda of the left. And that's what Obama meant by being a transformative president. These people have believed, the New York Times is actually not leading anything here. They are just codifying it. The Obama administration, community organizers, Alinskyites, And all these radical leftists have believed this for the longest time. That's why today is such a gigantic, see, I told you so. They've been living and breathing the dream that America is unjust and immoral because of its founding. And now here comes the New York Times to make that official, to no longer hide that as the real reason or explanation for the left's behavior and policies. Now, is there anybody in this audience that thinks, because if there is, I'd love to hear from you, is there anybody in this audience that thinks this is a winning tactic? Is this going to propel any of these Democrat candidates to the White House? 65 million people voted for Donald Trump on the premise of making America great again. Recapturing America from the globalists who want to weaken the country, get rid of the concept of nation states, evaporate our borders, flood the country with all kinds of people that don't live here for the purposes of watering down the U.S. in a whole bunch of ways. Donald Trump comes along, make America great again, wins against all expectations. 66, 67 million votes in the process, a clear electoral college advantage. And now the left thinks the way to beat Trump is to tell the people of this country that their country is a fraud, that their country is not exceptional and isn't great, because every bit of evidence of American greatness and exceptionalism is actually built on slavery. They think this is going to propel them. They think that all these 60-some-odd millions of people that voted for Trump are going to say, gosh, you know what? That's right. Oh, man, I feel so guilty. I feel so bad. I'm going to have to vote for whoever the New York Times says. What are they thinking? They're thinking long-term, folks. This is not just a project to get rid of Trump. That's the immediate aim. This is their objective for as far out as you can see. Their hatred for this country, I've yet to see them actually admit it as clearly as they are now, and particularly with the New York Times making this official. So keep a sharp eye, because this is going to be fascinating to watch. And if you read Dean McKay's transcript of the meeting, he was giving himself and the paper credit. They were cutting edge on Trump-Russia collusion. That was the biggest story, and they were right there following it and reporting it and doing the best job in the media anybody ever did with any story anybody ever had in the media. He said, now it's time to shift gears and to bring this professionalism and this level of expertise to reframing American history. In the process, the New York Times is admitting that journalism is not at all what goes on there anymore. Deluded and deranged, it is fascinating. And you think they're alone. Let me just give you some headlines here. Mayor Pete, voting for Trump is looking the other way on racism. Beto O'Rourke, Trump leading a concerted, organized attack against people of color. And there are countless other stories today of Democrat candidates and Democrat elected officials joining the movement now to proclaim Trump and his supporters, and in fact all of America, nothing but a racist sewer that needs to finally be admitted to and cleaned out. So in this process, every Republican must become a racist. Probably already has. Every American must become a white supremacist, a white nationalist, every white American. This is the tack that they are taking. This is why I say that I think they've already re-elected Trump. Back in a sec, folks.
In every corner of this world,
Rush,
your name is a household name.
Limbaugh.
Friends, evidence yet again. Do not doubt me. Do not doubt me. I, particularly when I am predicting the left, analyzing the left, telling you where they're going, what their objectives are. For how long have I been warning everybody, which is what my purpose has been, to warn everybody what's coming. These people do not like this country as founded. Their whole justification for everything they support, be it open borders, limitless illegal immigration, Medicare, health care for all, climate change, whatever it is, it's all based on the fact that America is illegitimate and unjust from our founding and is unfixable. This is the key. So the Civil War doesn't count. Abraham Lincoln doesn't count. Any affirmative action program doesn't count. Ditto for the feminazis. Whatever we've done to correct past grievances doesn't count because it doesn't erase the original sin. This is the key. America must be torn down and rebuilt because America has been flawed from the get-go. And now the New York Times is coming out and admitting. And I can't tell you how I hate talking about the New York Times, folks. I ignore them. They tick me off. They're nothing but a bunch of conspiracy plagiarists now. And I resent them. But I can't avoid it because they're the ones coming forward and admitting it now. This is the objective. And it goes way beyond Trump. But the original immediate objective is to get rid of Trump. Because that's all they can focus on. That's all that has occupied them since election night 2016. I got an email. Dear Mr. Limbaugh, the New York Times did not convince the majority of Americans that Trump was bad and a Russian agent. So I'm wondering if they have the same kind of impact they think they have. This is a great point. A great point. Because one of the characteristics of drive-by media today is an arrogance coupled with a condescension. You can see it when you watch leftist cable news or even read these newspapers. They adopt an attitude that everybody agrees with them. They are the epitome of what is normal in America. And anybody at variance with what they claim is normal is an oddball or a racist now or a white supremacist. But the fact is, they were unable to convince a majority of Americans that Trump was a Russian agent. You know why? Because he wasn't. They made it up. It was a hoax. It was an effort involving many in the political class in Washington, D.C., as you all know, to manufacture a bogus case to exonerate Hillary Clinton first and foremost. Look, you know the drill here. The point is, they were unable to convince a majority. If they were able to convince a majority of Americans, impeachment would have happened, and who knows what would have happened after that. The reason impeachment didn't happen is because no more than 20%, 30% of the country ever thought there was anything to this. At least to the point that it would require and necessitate an impeachment and a conviction and throwing Trump out of office. There has never been majority popular opinion for that. There has never been majority popular opinion on the belief that Trump stole the election and was illegitimate. But they act like everybody agrees with it. They act like everybody thinks it. And this is the root of their downfall. Presuming they are what's normal. Presuming they represent the majority. They don't. Fortunately for us, the New York Times and the drive-by media still represent a distinct minority of American thinking. It's just that they don't know it. So they're going into this 1619 project thinking they're going to succeed. They're going to succeed in reframing American history. 1619 is when we were founded, when the slaves first arrived in Virginia. And there's no fixing. This is key, folks. There's no reparations. There is no way of solving past grievances sufficiently to move forward. America must be disbanded. America must be torn down and reconstituted. Its sins are so great and so deeply intertwined that it's impossible to fix them. So when did these people begin to think this way? I think years ago. I don't think it's recent. I think it predates Trump. and they were on their way.
Another Obama term with Hillary in the White House, I shudder to think. But they thought they were on their way. It's a devious agenda, folks. It is really, really dangerous. It's not a conspiracy theory, and it's not tinfoil hat, thanks to the New York Times openly admitting it. Okay, let's start in Gainesville, Florida. Roger, you're up first today on the phones, and welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Rush. Using elementary math, we can see that we got rid of slavery 156 years ago and had it for 244 years, and I'm not sure why we don't get credit for having gotten rid of it with the Emancipation Proclamation and the Civil War and all that came after 156 years ago, and why we have to bear the guilt or burden or whatever of having it here for 244 years when it's been in existence throughout all of history and still is in parts of the world.
Okay, so what is your point?
Other than that, the New York Times is obviously insane. They want to give us no credit for having gotten rid of the scourge of slavery and having done it 156 years ago, which is long before anybody on the planet today.
Well, that's the. I'm sorry to be repetitive here, folks, but that's the point. Even though slavery was absolved, the Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil War was fought. None of that counts, Roger. None of that erases the fact that it existed. And because it existed, we are flawed forever. America can never, ever escape it. And so America must be obliterated, disbanded, and reconstituted. No credit for any achievement, no credit for any accomplishment, no credit for any fix, because that doesn't erase the sin. It's just a darn good thing the media is not God or Jesus Christ, or we would all be screwed. Welcome back. It's great to have you with us, folks. If you're a welfare recipient just getting out of bed, plain old greetings to you if you're just joining us. 800-282-2882. If you want to be on the program, that's our number. And the email address, lrushfort@eibnet.us. Now look, I'm going to move on from this 1619 business. I'm not kidding. I hate talking about the New York Times. I hate citing, C-I-T-I, citing things from the New York Times, because they're not news anymore. And I resent the fact that they're so damned important. They're not news anymore. They've lost. They're gone. There is no journalism in drive-by media today. I mean real journalism. Journalism at its root is telling people what happened someplace. What's going on there that people are not there to see themselves. That's what you boil it down to its bare essence, and that's what it is. And you do that without bias, and you do that with as much objectivity as you can master. Of course, we know that doesn't exist anymore. But now the New York Times has evolved a project to reframe America's founding, to blow up the history of America, and to basically lead an effort to convince Americans that their country is not great, that it is not exceptional, because everything that has happened that is good in this country has happened on the backs of slaves. Now, when I get into things like this, I always get emails from people who try to give me information to rebut the premise I'm making. So if we're talking about slavery and America, whenever I bring this up, I get emails, "Hey, Rush, there's still slavery in Africa!" Ladies, let me take a brief point here. And then I got another one here. Is this true of the founding of Canada, Rush? They only got rid of slavery a couple decades before us. How about Cuba and Mexico and all the rest of the nations in the Western Hemisphere? Have you ever looked at the slave trade map and seen Brazil? That's not the point, folks.
to deal with it this way is to accept the premise. We're going to accept the premise of the New York Times that slavery was what built America, that there is no legitimacy to our country. And so the way we're going to defend it, well, if you think we're bad, look what happened in Brazil. Or if you think we're bad, look at Canadians when they got rid of it. That doesn't, that all of this kind of thinking is why we keep losing this issue. We have to stop accepting the premise. The New York Times is insane, is the premise. The New York Times is off its rocker, whatever vernacular you want to use. The New York Times has become dangerous. America was not founded in 1619. It's not debatable. It's not arguable. The greatness of the United States was not built on slavery. We got rid of slavery over a century ago, 18 some odd. It's gone. There is no slavery in America today. The idea that everything... What happens to the Civil Rights Bill? All the civil rights legislation that has been written to try to make amends, to try to address the grievances. Is all of that stuff meaningless? Yes, according to the New York Times and the American left today, none of it counts. None of it counts. No fix is permissible. No fix deserves any credit. No correction, nothing. No improvement, no positive change, because we can't erase the fact that there was slavery in America. This is their premise to disqualify America as exceptional, to disqualify America as great, and to give them the entree into transforming them, basically destroying it. This is what we're up against. We're not into a debate over, well, if you think we're bad, try and see it's worse else. That's not, I don't even want to get close to accepting their premise here.
Justice Radio Station.
It's not the way. If we're going to win a public argument about this, we have to use ridicule of the premise. The premise that America was founded in 1619? The premise that when slavery was brought to North America, there wasn't even a United States in 1619? We're going to build a premise that everything that happened after, all the good that happened after that. Let me tell you the other way of going about this. If everything about the United States today was built on slavery, then what was wrong with it? Rhetorical question. What's wrong with the United States? Are we not the greatest nation on earth? Are we not the most prosperous nation on earth? Are we not the richest nation on earth? And now they want to come along and tell us the only reason that happened is because of slavery? Well then, I know this is going to be twisted and bent all out of shape, but the point is, this is one of the most ridiculous premises I have ever heard in my life. And it doesn't deserve any acceptance in terms of finding an argument against it. That's where we on the right end up losing so many of these arguments anyway. They set the premise on everything because they're obviously advancing, they're on offense. So they set the premise that we're having a recession. What do? Instead of ripping them to shreds as unqualified and a bunch of fake news specialists, we start debating economic statistics. And then we try to point out how their economists are nothing but a bunch of left-wing hacks. Rather than just blow their premise to smithereens. Look at the Democrat campaign. Everything that you hear from these people is outrageously absurd. They do not need to be engaged, but these people don't want to debate us anyway. That's not the point. They are out trying with all of this talk of slavery. We are all now, not just America, but if the New York Times persists with this, every American today is tainted by it, and every American is thus unjust and immoral and has a price to pay. I think this desperation is such that it doesn't even deserve 1 ounce of acceptance and debate with an attempt to refute it. Not accepting their premise. You can blow the hell out of their facts. The founding of America was 1619. American greatness today, everything about America is built on slavery. The New York Times sent out a tweet 6 days ago warning of this, promising that this is what was coming in the newspaper. It was a tweet from Mara Gay. On August 13th, in the days and weeks to come, we will publish essays demonstrating that nearly everything that has made America exceptional grew out of slavery. So we think, okay, well, if they're going to say that, we have to devise some debate points, and we have to be able to meet them on the playing field here and refute what their claims are. Wrong way to go. You let them get away with the idea their premise has merit, and you can forget it. Because you can't ever say there wasn't slavery in America. They want to say that slavery is responsible for everything good that has happened in America. Imagine that. Slavery. And so therefore they want to disqualify everything that's good. In the minds of as many Americans as they can, and they hope to win the presidency on this. God help us if they ever do. They will have a license to rip this country apart like it's never been ripped apart. Under the premise that it's being finally fixed by being disbanded. I mentioned this piece earlier. Paul Waldman, the American Prospect, left-wing publication. There will be no justice for Trump's enablers. Now, that headline's a little confusing. This is actually a story of hatred. And it is written in the form of anti-Trump elitism. Now, this guy, Paul Waldman, is a hate-filled leftist guy, but he is having to come to grips with the facts. And the facts are that the never-Trumpers have failed. The never-Trumpers haven't succeeded. They haven't moved their ball an inch. The never-Trumpers haven't even been a sore spot with Trump, much less a meaningful opponent. So now the never-Trumpers, one of the latest hero they are embracing is the mooch, Anthony Scaramucci, who next week could change his mind and become a Trump groupie again. This guy is all over the board. Whatever will get him invitations to CNN and elsewhere is what he'll do. Here's a pull quote from the story. Even the party's eminence greases, that means the elites, are in line. Former Vice President Cheney, who has criticized the administration of foreign policy, will be raising money for Trump's re-election. Which is as good a sign as any that the moral and professional accounting some Republicans feared or hoped for will ever take place. This guy is all upset that the people who enabled Donald Trump are not going to be kicked out of office. They're not going to be kicked out of Washington. They're not going to be sent to jail. They're not going to be ruined. They're not going to be wiped out. They're all joining Trump now. This guy's beside himself. The never-Trumpers are alone on Epstein's Island for all intents and purposes. Without the girls. That's how lost they are. This guy, Waldman, the bunch of leftists have been expecting that all of these Trump enablers, elected Republicans that support Trump, conservative media that support Trump, they have been hoping since 2016 that there would be a big price to pay because Trump is such a reprobate, he's such an ogre, and anybody who supported Trump has got to get what's coming to them. Well, it's turned out that all those people are nothing but being rewarded, and even some of the anti-Trump elites, the never-Trumpers, are as ineffective as anything in politics as a movement ever has been. And this guy is mad as hell that all the people who have worked for Trump will never be ruined for the rest of their lives. That's what the headline means. There will be no justice for Trump's enablers. So these people, folks, I can't describe for you. I really can't. I can't describe you how large and how deep the left-wing belief has been since 2016 election night that Trump was going down, that Trump was going to be sent packing, and that everybody that voted for him and everybody that supported him was going to go with him. Everybody was going to pay the biggest price. And they have created hoax after hoax after hoax after hoax, starting with Trump-Russia collusion to try to get rid of Trump, to try to humiliate his voters, to disbanding him deep... abandoning him. Nothing has worked. And the people in whom all the hope was placed, the never-Trumpers, you can't even name five now. So the left is facing a cold shower reality every day that nothing's going to happen to Trump, and he may, probably, is going to be reelected. This is a major psychological thing, folks. They have believed they were going to get rid of Trump since before he was inaugurated. And everything they've tried has failed. They're beside themselves. Imagine thinking of yourself as omnipotent, being able to have your way with anybody or anything, and that you've pretty much been able to do that. And then somebody comes along who you think everybody would agree with you that is an absolute disgusting piece of humanity. Getting rid of should be the easiest thing in the world, and you can't do it. I'm telling you, there's got to be some serious psychological disorders populating many of these people on the left. In Seattle, Trump supporters are starting to come out of hiding. The Seattle Times column by Danny Westneat. Now, the Seattle Times is not the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer is the New York Times paper in Seattle. But nevertheless, I'm surprised that they published this. The latest federal election reports, this is about donors. And let me tell you, but this tells you, as far as people in politics, professional political people, the money, the people behind the money, how many people are donating them, that's what matters to them. That's how you find out how strong a candidate is. Look at the stories on Drudge today about Biden. Fundraising is falling out on Biden. The bottom is falling out. His fundraising's leveled off and it's dropping. And you couple that with crowd size, and you add to it the gaffes, and it's not a pretty picture. But in Seattle, San Francisco North, with nearly 15 months to go before the election, Trump has drawn more donations from Seattle addresses than he did during the entire 2016 campaign. In Washington State, Trump's approval rating is 28 points underwater. Even with that, he has racked up far more donations than any of the Democrat candidates. In fact, more than the top six Democrats combined. State of Washington, with 28 points underwater, you know what that means. Trump's approval number is 28 points lower than his disapproval number. And despite that, and that's just a poll, which could have been juiced in any direction the pollster wants. But in terms of donations, Trump has drawn more donations from addresses in Seattle than the entirety of the 2016 campaign. In the whole state, Trump has racked up more donations, total, big and small, than any of the Democrat candidates. In fact, more than the top six Democrats combined. That is not to say Trump's going to win the state of Washington. That's not the point here. The point is enthusiasm, belief. These people live in the world where nobody likes Trump anymore. They have destroyed Trump. They have made an ogre out of Trump. They've made a joke out of him. Nobody likes Trump. Everybody's embarrassed of Trump. And now they're faced with the fact that Trump is outraising the top six Democrat candidates in a state Trump has no hope of even winning.
People everywhere want the American dream. So should gaining American citizenship be simple or hard? Rush Limbaugh nails the answer in his latest bonus report, Why Becoming an American Citizen Should Not Be Easy. Get it free with a new subscription to the Limbaugh Letter.
How are you? Welcome back. Rush Limbaugh having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have. Now, on this donor business in Seattle, we're not talking about total dollars raised, though Trump on that front is killing it as well. The total number of donations reflects how many people are inspired enough by a candidate to send any amount of money, and sometimes repeatedly. Now, Trump has nearly three times as many donations from Washington State as Bernie Sanders does. Trump is not going to win Washington State. I mean, well, we say that. The way things are going, I would not be surprised what happens in this upcoming election on the pro-Trump side. But you'd have to say, sitting here now, he's not going to win Washington. But how do you explain more donors and more dollars than the top six Democrat candidates? Because we're told every day the Democrats are bursting with enthusiasm. They are filled with rage. They're filled with hatred. They are filled with energy. They've got to get rid of Trump. Why? If they could vote tonight, they'd vote tonight. Some of them maybe are. You know, vote fraud goes. And yet, any measure of enthusiasm would have to include measuring donors, the number of donors and the amount of money that they donate. And you go to a blue state like Seattle, where Trump supporters are just killing it on the donation. Believe me, political professionals pay more attention to this than they do practically any other metric, because money is the mother's milk of politics. Washington is the gigantic teat that everybody's trying to get in there and suckle. Three times as many donations as Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders has 8,000 itemized donors in the state of Washington. Trump has 21,657. When your fundraising is breaking records, and by the way, these people in Seattle now are starting to show up in public. Trump signs, Trump this. The fear of expressing you are for Trump is dwindling in some of these blue areas. Half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. Just to be equal. Just to be unoffensive, unthreatening, and all that stuff that affects scared people. Here's Susan, Seattle. Great to have you on the program. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Rush. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, madam.
I'm calling because living in Seattle, you live like a scared rabbit when it comes to being a conservative.
Yes.
However, the thing about yesterday's article from Daddy Westneat is that the man has never, in all of the years that I have read that paper, and I get it free because they can't sell it, he has never once had a good thing to say about Republicans, about conservatives, much less anything good to say about...
So how do you explain this? This piece, she's talking about the piece I just read, excerpted, folks, in Blue Seattle, Trump supporters starting to come out of hiding. How do you explain that this guy who's never had a good word to say about Trump wrote a factual piece about his prowess in fundraising there?
It befuddles me.
I'll tell you what it is. They're scared to death. You can see it all over the media. The New York Times had a story 2 weeks ago. I need to find this in my archives. I keep referring to this. I need to get it in front of me. The headline was about polling that showing Trump was fair to middle and no big deal. But the real story, the writer was scared to death because in the polling data was the fact that millions of people who didn't vote for Trump in 2016 now like him.